If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Corinthians. I didn't mark my place. It might take me just a moment to find it. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to say thank you to the church for the very generous love offering that was given to myself and Miss Eve last Sunday. And I appreciate it so very much, and we're just grateful from the bottom of our heart. So many prayed for Charity and prayed for Olivia. And I'll tell you this little story before I get started because it warms my heart. I like to preach with a warm heart. Charity was, I don't know, she was talking. She might have been between 2 and 3. Standing in the vestibule at the Hurricane Baptist Church, and Brother Jeff, one of the men, bent over and said, "Honey, you're beautiful." Charity set her little hands on her hips and looked up at him and said, "Ah, my daddy say I gorgeous." Well, Charity's little baby's gorgeous too. I mean, she is absolutely. I was kidding. Hannah, I told her, I said, not many babies get to be born at 10. They usually have to grow into that, but she's just perfect. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. He's been good. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want to read for the text just verse. Well, I'm not going to tell you what verse until I ask a question. What is the best gift? If you had to describe or define, Thursday morning we're going to gather around as families, no doubt. Some Wednesday evening. When you have a big family like we do, you have to do something Christmas Eve, you have to do something Christmas morning, you have to do something Christmas afternoon, and you have to do something else Christmas evening, amen, just to get to meet with the whole family. But when we gather around, there's going to be gifts. We all know that. And what's the best gift? What's the best gift? The Lord spoke to my heart, and I want to share with you today a thought concerning coveting earnestly the best gift. It's right here in the Scripture. Look at verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. The Bible said, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to stand here and break the bread of life. I pray, Father, today that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would be pleased to season these words. And Father, that you would let them sink down into our ears and down into our hearts. Lord, that we would be a better person when we leave here than when we came. Be more like Christ than when we came. Have more of your love shed abroad in our heart than when we came. Father, I thank you for the privilege to minister the Word of God today. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just help it to be a blessed day. Thank you, God, for our people. Many, Lord, would love to be here today. They're not able. They're in nursing homes, some in hospital. And Lord, we pray you'd just visit with Brother Eugene, Lord, today. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us all, our Father, today, to look to you and to live for you till you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Apostle Paul said here in this last verse of chapter number 12. And chapter number 12 deals with a lot of the spiritual gifts that God has given to his people. If you look in verse number 1, he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you understanding. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man say that Jesus can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Then he said in verse number 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The body of Christ is made up of many members, and God said that I'm giving gifts to each one. I believe that each person in the body of Christ has a gift that God has given him, and that gift is to be used for the glory of God Almighty, for the upbuilding, the edifying of the church of the living God, to reach sinners with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you get down here, Paul again, he describes some things, and starting down in verse number 27, he said, let me go back up here just a little bit. The Bible said here in verse number 22, he said, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. This goes along a little bit with what I said on Wednesday night. There are no important parts and unimportant parts in the body of Christ. Every part is important. And he said, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, and secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret it? And here's what Paul said in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. If you've studied the Bible, then you would have to understand that many of these gifts that I read in your hearing today are not being exercised in this generation. The Bible said over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13, the Bible said that charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So in order to rightly divide the word of God, we know that as you go into the book of Acts, the Jews required a sign. But we know that the sign gifts fade off of the scene in the book of Acts. And God wants his church, the church of the living God, to operate not by what we see, but by what we don't see, by faith in the Lord alone. Amen. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the word of God tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I thought it interesting when Paul said this in verse number 31. He said, but covet. You could use the word desire. That would be a worthy desire in the heart and life of the child of God, would want to be have the best gifts. And then Paul said, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. This year is almost behind us. We've got another week or so in this year. And this is how God spoke to my heart, amen, about the best gifts. He said, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I want to say this morning. I don't want to be offensive.
And this goes from the pastor to the pew. Regardless of how we may have walked with God this past year, I believe we can walk a little closer this coming year. I believe there can be an even more excellent way, regardless of our ministry in the church, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's the youth, whether it's the children's church, whether it's the pulpit, whether it's the pew. My friend, every one of us can be shown of God a more excellent way that we might improve in the things of God. But you know, Paul said here, I'm going to show it to you. In verse number, you need to remember now that the chapters and divisions in the Word of God, they came about later, and then he goes into chapter 13, but really, there shouldn't even be a break right here. If you'll look at the thought, he said, I'm going to show unto you a more excellent way. And then he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, he said, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He's saying here, my friend, listen, you can have this gift, you can have that gift, you can have this gift, you can have several of these gifts, but if you don't have God and God's love in your heart, amen, then my friend, that gift is not going to be used to its fullest extent and fullest capacity for the glory of God Almighty. He said, I want to show you a more excellent way. I thought about the best gift, the love. The best gifts are wrapped up in the love of God. The Bible told us, we see the love, I pinned just a couple of things down. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Spirit of the living God. And my friend, listen, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Listen, think about this for just a minute. Amen. Jesus came down. He was on this earth 33 plus years. And he went back and took his seat at the right hand of God the Father. And he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And when he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you into all truth. Amen. And he's been here ever since, ministering upon the face of this globe. And I thank God for his ministry. Let me give you something here. First of all, let's look at the Father. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on the whosoever list. I'm glad, thank God, I took him to be my Savior. I'm glad I'm never going to perish. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And this is the gift of God. My friend, listen, the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, beloved friend, we need to covet earnestly the best gift. The best gift comes from the Father. The Bible said every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You say, my friend, listen, when they wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes, God was saying to a sin-cursed, sin-benighted world, I love you. And listen, he's never changed. He's still saying in this generation, I love you. And I gave my Son to die for you and for the sin of the whole world. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, turn to 1 John just a minute. Let me show you a verse of Scripture over here. I believe it'll be a blessing. 1 John chapter number 4. Listen to what the Bible said in verse number 9 and verse number 10 of chapter number 4 here. The Bible said here, it was manifest, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. There's a picture, I don't know if Charity and Bob has put it out, but there's a picture of Bob. And I'll tell you something right now, I misunderstood the picture. Bob has got his hands in his face like this, and he's got a look on his face that's absolutely priceless. He's looking at his daughter, but I didn't realize this to start with. I thought he was just overwhelmed, but really, it was a look of concern because the baby was blue and he wasn't ready for that. You understand what I mean? The baby, I guess, hadn't got that blood pumping good yet on its own. But there was a look, and I just wonder what kind of look was on the father's face. Are you listening to me? Amen. When he knew that his son would come into this world and that, my friend, he wasn't going to finish up a babe in a manger. He was going to grow up. He was going to be crucified on an old rugged cross. I wonder what kind of look was on his face as he walked, my friend, the road to Calvary. Oh, beloved friend, the Father, the love of the Father. Look what the Bible said here. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. John the Beloved has written this scripture, and John is the one that would call himself that other disciple. John is the one that would say, that disciple whom Jesus loved. You and I'm not fussing, but we might have wrote down that disciple that loved Jesus, but that's not what he wrote down. He said, I want you to know he loved me. Amen. He's saying here, the only reason we love him is because he first loved us. Covet earnestly the best gifts. The best gifts are wrapped up in the love of God. The best gifts come from the Father. Then we look at the Son for just a moment. The Bible said over in John chapter 15 and verse number 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Oh, beloved friend, this morning I want you to know, thank God, thank God, thank God, they didn't take the life of Jesus. Read chapter number 10 in the book of John. He said, I lay my life down. I have the power to lay it down. I believe, my friend, when he gave up the ghost, I believe he laid her down right there. And he said, I have the power to take it up again. I believe with all of my heart, this is the Christmas story. Brother Fred, I told him he chose some wonderful Christmas songs this morning. Amen. But covet earnestly the best gift. The love of God is from the Father. The love of God is exemplified in the Son. Amen. And that the greater love, there is no greater love than the love that God has given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at John chapter 10 for just a moment. Listen to what the Bible said here. In John chapter number 10, the Bible said, verily I say unto you in verse 1, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. How many's glad you heard his voice? Oh, I tell you one thing. We never would have gotten in if we hadn't heard his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. The Bible said here, Jesus said, I am the door. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I want you to know, Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. We've not even begun to live, my friend, until Jesus comes into our heart and life, forgives us of our sin, writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, forgives us and gives us peace and joy, and the love of God shed abroad in our heart. Oh, friend of mine, today, covet earnestly the best gift. You know, I want to get to something here. Think about the Spirit of God. The Bible said over there in the book of Galatians, now the fruit of the Spirit is, he said, love and joy and peace. Do you want to know why that many will experience Christmas again without love and joy and peace? I'll tell you why. Because they're without the Spirit of the living God. My friend, you cannot have the Spirit of the living God without being born again. Jesus said this love would be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He said, preacher, I don't understand the need for the message. I'm telling you, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. The Bible said here, I have the gift of prophecy, verse 2, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, have all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not charity. If I don't have this best gift, I don't have anything. I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Listen, I'm going to say this in a generic way. The whole church is responsible for it. We've all jumped in and tried to help family after family after family. But I'll tell you the thing, my friend, it's going to make the difference. It's the love that's in that box. It's the love, my friend, that comes from a heart that God has given us for people, the people that He loves. Amen. I believe, my friend, you can give away the world and it's not going to amount to anything, but you can give it away in the love of God. You can give something small wrapped up in something big and it'll make a difference for the glory of God. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, watch this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible said over there in verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. You understand that there's going to be people right here in good old Kingsport, Tennessee. They're going to unwrap things Wednesday evening or Thursday morning. And they're going to wish that they got what somebody else got. Are you listening to me? Oh, I'm telling you, I wonder, Brother Houston, if it don't make our Father hurt in His heart to say, look what they've made out of the birthday of my son. They're envying one another. They're not patient with one another. The Bible said here, they don't suffer long. The Bible said, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. I'm telling you, my friend, that God wants us to have a Christmas in the best gift, the gift of God's love that He's given to us, wrapped up in that love. Oh, beloved friend, you know what? There's not one person here that even deserves the box, let alone what's in the box. Say amen right there. We don't deserve that. If we had what we deserved this morning, the flames of hell would be licking at every one of us. That's what sinners deserve. But in God's grace and in God's mercy and in God's love, He has given us His Son that we might be forgiven, that we might have our name written in heaven. He said, this love, this best gift, He said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. What about that? A lot of things in this world will fail, but God's love will never fail. God's love will never fail. I've got a family on my heart, and God helping me. And Miss Eve, I've already got some things in mind, and we're going to get some things together. You say, preacher, why? Because we just want somebody to know they're loved. Amen. They're loved. I tell you, everybody in this building ought to just stop and think. I know there's already been a lot done, and thank God for that. But I believe between now and Thursday, if we'd say, God, would you show us one more person that we could show the love of God to? It might just be unloading somebody's groceries out there at the grocery store, helping them get them in the car. It might be just opening a door. It might just be a kind word. It might be a gospel tract. It might be a phone call. I don't know what it is, but God wants us to keep on showing His love to others. Amen. The only Jesus that a lot of people in Kingsport, Tennessee are going to meet is the one that lives in you and the one that lives in me. Amen. The love of God. He said, I want to show you a more excellent way. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He said here, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, You say, preacher, what is that which is perfect? What's it speaking of there? I'm not going to fall out with you and I'm not going to argue with you. But I believe right here it is. The Word of God, the complete canon of Scripture. Paul was saying, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is going to be done away. I've given you a Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Did you know that many people are going to gather, my friend, this week, and they're never going to open a Bible. They're never going to read a verse. I'm telling you, they might talk about a man, my friend, listen, in a red suit and forget all about the man that shed his red blood on an old rugged cross. I just say, lift him up. Lift him up, lift him up, lift up Jesus, lift up Jesus, lift up Jesus. The Bible said here, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now, what's the now word again? He said, now, abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Right there's the more excellent way. Right there is the best of the best. Amen. We can have a gift. God give you, Sister Danita, a gift to sing. And it's a wonderful gift. All of us don't have it. If you don't believe me, let me sing you one day and you'll get in agreement with me. Amen. I'm going to tell you, listen, right now, that song, it needs to come from a heart of love. That sermon needs to come from a heart of love. That Sunday school lesson needs to come from a heart of love. Anything that we would do for others needs to come from a heart of love. Because when it does, my friend, it becomes weighty. And people understand. I believe in that card. I'm reading between the lines, Brother Jeff. When Mrs. Montoya wrote that card, I believe she said, somebody loves our family. Somebody loves my boy. And I believe she's glad about it. But I'm going to tell you what, if that love ever moves in on her like it moved in on me, if it ever moves in on Brian's daddy like he moved in on me, amen, then they'll understand a more excellent way. Amen. And why? Not just what we did, but why we do what we do. I'm honored, my friend, listen, to serve the Lord in this generation. And I just hope that somebody can say, when it's my time to graduate out of this world, he loved God. He loved God's people. He loved sinners. Amen. Because I believe that's the greatest gift, the love of God, the greatest gift. You know, you may have spent this past year unsaved. You don't have to spend another year unsaved. There's a more excellent way. You may have spent this last year living for yourself. How many believes old self just keeps standing up in our lives? Amen. You just have to keep getting a stick after old self and beating him down. Say amen. He's there every morning. Every morning old self gets up. I tell you what Paul's saying. There's a more excellent way. There's a more excellent way than living for self. There's a more excellent way than living in sin. There's a more excellent way. His name is Jesus. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for his sin. I'll never forget a truth the Lord showed me when I was preaching that series on knocking holes in the darkness. We know that on the cross, God the Father put the lights out. It got so dark, Brother Ralph, you couldn't see your hand right there. There's never been a darkness like that. Jesus was dying in the dark so that I could have the privilege to walk in the light. But the thought come to me when I was preaching that series of messages. Never had it before. But who turned the lights back on? We know who turned the lights out. Well, the way I look at it, he's the only one that had access to the switch. He turned them off. You say, preacher, why did he turn them back on? I tell you why. The book of Isaiah said, I shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. God was satisfied with the sacrifice of his son. He was satisfied with the blood that was shed. He was satisfied, my friend, that the payment, the propitiation had been paid in full. And he turned the lights back on so that we could see the love of God hanging on an old rugged cross. I don't know about you, but it's an honor and a privilege to be able to celebrate the birth of the one. Amen. The birth of the one that gave his life for me, gave his life for you. These children that are coming on the van, both vans, we got to get them young and Sister Teresa to do them Bible verses. They done them Bible verses for Pastor back there in the hallway today. They done 2 Peter, is it 5 through 7 or 4 through 7? 5 through 8, 5 through 7 or 8. They got it perfect. They done just perfect. They're going to get them up. We're going to get them up here to do them for the church one day. They quoted them by little youngins. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They're looking up. You know what they need to see? They need to see the love of God shed abroad in our heart. They need to see somebody walking in that more excellent way. They need to see somebody coveting that perfect, precious gift, the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You want to pray for Pastor this year? Let me give you a couple ways to pray for him. Pray that God will make him more like Jesus. Pray that God will fill him with the love of God, that I can hate sin with a passion and love sinners all at the same time. Pray for Pastor. Let's pray one for another. Let's walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with his dear son. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to preach the Bible. Lord, Paul said, we need to covet earnestly. Covet earnestly those gifts, our Father, that would bring glory and honor to the Son of God. Father, today we know that you love us. Help us, God, to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Lord, you said if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Lord, I pray you'd help us that we might let brotherly love continue. That we might, Father, be a reflection of the grace of our Lord Jesus. Father, if there's someone here today that does not have eternal life, Lord, that is the gift of God. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, I pray today that you'd speak to their heart. Today would be the day they would want to say yes. They'd get tired of walking in darkness. They'd want to be saved and walk in the light as he is in the light. Father, today, take the word of God down deep in our hearts. Help us, Lord, not to open presents and forget about Jesus. Help us, Father, not to gather with the family and forget about the family of God. Help us, Lord, not to gather in time and forget about eternity. Help us, Father, that we might be a blessing to someone's way. Help us, God, that we might be a reflection of your love in this generation.